I love talking about driverless cars, especially when I get to the end of 2023 and all I hear about is, oh, the driverless car phenomenon is finished. No one wants them. And Cruise was terrible and that all fell to bits. So, you know, clearly the whole thing's a disaster and nothing will ever come of it.
Never going to happen.
I love the mainstream tech press on this stuff.
Absolutely. Now, yeah, Cruise was a bit of a disappointment over in San Francisco, but it is not the end of driverless cars. I can tell you that because it's going strong with Waymo and Uber in Phoenix.
So just for people who don't know about the Cruise story, because I thought this was quite interesting, it seems to me anyway, from my limited understanding, and, you know, I could read about it, but who's got the time? So, you know, my understanding was that Cruise went a little bit too quickly. And I don't mean in terms of speed in the car, but in terms of development, they kind of moved a little bit too quickly. They didn't necessarily listen to all the safety concerns. And so they were having little accidents and bumps along the way. Things were happening more regularly with Cruise than perhaps with other manufacturers. And that was causing, I guess, investors to get a little bit nervous.
Yeah. Cruise was taken away. The Department of Motor Vehicles in California basically took away their testing license because they were not safe enough. They were having some problems with crashes. And in fact, there was one story. It's horrible. That one woman got hit by a regular car and she was on the ground and the Cruise car ran over her. So yeah, they've kind of lost their license because they're just not safe enough. And yes, I believe it's because they moved way too fast.
Mm.
Well, that's the danger area though, isn't it? Because there's a bit of a race for this. Who's going to get there first? Who's going to take the majority of the market out there, who can get to as many cities Agreed. As possible. So there is that sort of balancing act between safety record and getting people's confidence up in driverless cars and that being the first past the finish line. It's a tricky, tricky balancing act to keep on.
No, I agree. And if they don't do it safely, nobody's ever going to take it seriously and allow it.
It does seem interesting to me, though, that they do tend to hold these cars with... and rightly so, they should absolutely hold them to a high standard, but they don't hold drivers to this high standard. And, you know, the stats are clear on this, that human drivers behind the wheel cause so many accidents, and way more than a lot of these cars combined have actually been able to pull off themselves. You know, so the driverless cars are having less accidents. Not no accidents, but they're having accidents. And so the idea that we kind of hold them to this, which again, I understand because we're nervous about this new technology and it has to be right. And I get that. But also there's a little bit of a, it's almost too skeptical for me sometimes from the mainstream press, from regular drivers who just want to hold on to that wheel for as long as they possibly can.
Right. And I can't tell you the stats that include Cruise. Because we don't have Cruise here in Phoenix, but I can tell you that the Waymo, and now Waymo with Uber, which we'll talk about in a minute, but their safety record is great. There was an independent insurance company did some stats, and the claims, if you will, for personal injury, 100% less with Waymo than with the same, you know, with regular cars. And then the damage to property was 73% less. So that's just huge. And if it's done right, as Waymo has done, it's safe. They have not had any accidents here in Phoenix that were caused by them. They've had other cars hit, other cars cause crashes, but these cars have not caused the crashes. There've been a couple incidents where they've been a little... they've pulled over because they didn't know what to do, but I'd rather it pull over and be safe.
Yeah, I wish human drivers did more of that. Right? Pull over if you don't know what to do, because it is incredibly serious though. I think you're absolutely right, Stephen. I mean, human drivers, we seem to we expect this. When you look at the stats about how many deaths are on the road, it's absolutely staggering yearly. And yet, what are we aiming for driverless? Are we aiming for perfection? Zero? Or what is...
I don't think you can.
What is acceptable?
Right. I think it has to be better than what it is for human drive. But as you just pointed out, that's that low bar. It's pretty horrible. You know, human drivers are pretty horrible. So I think it has to, you know, it has to show that it's much better than that. But I don't think you'll ever get perfection. There's no such thing as perfection.
And the reason I get a little bit irritated by this whole discussion is because I am relying, as is Sean, as are you, we're relying on other people all the time to do our driving for us. We don't drive. So at the moment, the only option is for us to put our faith in a human. Now, I have got into taxis on the odd occasion. I'm sure we all have. Where the guy or the girl, usually a guy, especially in a taxi, is behind the wheel. And it might be someone who's a bit older. And I'm not saying all old drivers can't drive. But there are some that, you know, you can instantly tell with the way the car is being driven that this person's either a little bit nervous or a little unsure. And, you know, I've been in a situation where I remember we were on a highway driving along. The next minute, this driver is asking me where we should go. And I'm saying, I have no idea. I said, I don't know where we are at this point. I had no clue. He didn't know where we were heading. He was veering off onto different lanes. I could hear cars around, you know, hammering on the horn. I could hear trucks, you know, as if, you know, slowing down. And you know when a truck slows down, you know you've got trouble because trucks don't slow down and they know what they're doing. So, yeah, you know, right. If a truck is blasting its horn at you, you're doing something wrong. Please listen. Yep. And I honestly thought that this was just the day I was going to die. And it's a horrible feeling because you have no control over it whatsoever. No control. Now, do I want to necessarily put my trust into a computer to do that? Well, look, I don't know. But I do know that one thing is you take away that tiredness, you take away the ego, you take away the attitude that comes with drivers. I've been in cars with guys, especially younger guys, who, you know, it's a competition to see who can beat the lights and, you know, driving up the backside of someone because, you know, that person's pulled out on them or whatever. And you just like, calm down, you know. You're not going to get that with driverless cars.
I'll tell you, when we talked last time, one of the big things that I enjoy about this is that I don't have to interact with another driver or with the driver. You know, I get to go into this car and it's just me. In my case, me and my guide dog. But I don't have to talk to the driver. I don't have to worry if he had a bad night last night, if he's tired or, you know, recovering from a drinking bender.
Yep, whatever. Exactly.
It's going to be the same. And I just feel safe in the car.
It's difficult in that situation as well, because if you sort of challenge the driver, they're almost dismissive of you. Well, what would you know about driving, you know?
Mm-hmm. I've had, especially blind people.
Exactly, yes. Right. That's the point. And the I use a taxi company regularly, and there's a couple, one who picked me up just a couple of days ago, was on the phone the entire journey. Now, hands-free, don't get me wrong, yeah. Hands-free. But still, it was, you know, talking and laughing away the entire journey. And you think, are you actually really concentrating on the road, or another one who plays his music so incredibly loud you can't hear anything else? You think,
right.
You just feel slight, it makes you anxious. It's one of those rare occasions where you think, actually taking the human factor out of this is actually probably beneficial.
I find it so. It's a relaxing experience for me.
So the last time we spoke, we were talking to you about your experience of Waymo driverless cars. And that was a really interesting conversation. And you can go back and listen to that chat that we had with Greg on our website, doubletaponair.com. You can search for Waymo or Greg, and you can check out that conversation because it was really, really interesting. And we got a chance to hear your experience. Well, you've been out again, and this time around, you've been trying Uber. And this is kind of, I guess, by request, right? Because you had mentioned, or we had mentioned, or someone had mentioned that, you know, Uber had come to Phoenix, and immediately Sean and I said, Greg will had a shot in one of those. So you did, and you sent in your results. So let's listen in to your experience inside a Uber car as opposed to the Waymo car to see what the differences were.
I'm in the car. It was a little different than doing it with Waymo. Getting to the car was a little more difficult. I ended up having to talk to support and get them to beep the horn for me and do things like that. But other than that, Uber is using the Waymo service. I'm kind of subcontracting to them. Once I'm in the car, it's exactly the same. I'm in the back seat with my guide dog. There's nobody up front.
and things are driving along. It's not talking as much because I don't think it has the same preferences that I was able to turn on when I used Waymo to have it tell me what's going on. When I used Waymo, it would tell me that I'm approaching 15th Avenue or whatever it might be, and then I'm going to turn right or left. This one is more silent. And when I just looked around in the app, the Uber app, I don't have all the same options. It did talk to me when I first got in, told me to buckle up, told me to start the ride, which you do in the app. And I was able to do all that. And it gave me a little intro and told me what was going on. But other than that, it's never not talking to me for the whole ride. I have a feeling the next time I'm going to hear it is when I arrive at my destination, which, by the way, is a restaurant called the Spaghetti Factory. So you might hear that.
Almost there. Don't forget your belongings.
Okay. That's normal.
For your safety, the doors will remain locked when we arrive. Pull the handle twice to exit. The first pull unlocks. The second opens the door.
Okay, we are quite there. It's just telling me what to do once I do get there, which is cool. It's still driving, but I hear the directional, the blinker, whatever you want to call it, going. So I have a feeling we're about to pull into the place.
You're here. Please make sure it's clear before exiting.
Okay. So, gather my guide dog's leash and pull on it twice to get out. Okay, so it's asking me to close the door that I've exited, and I'm getting out of its way, and I think the car will just take off now. So my next step is to find the front door to this place, so I guess I'll be going into my magnifier app and using the LiDAR. Talk to you later.
Absolutely fascinating to hear your reaction to that. And it's almost, you've been obviously trying these a couple of times. You're getting used to the idea, which is interesting, right? That you're starting to get used to the way it works. You're used to what you're awaiting to hear. You're knowing what you're not hearing inside the Uber car. So, you know, clearly a few differences between the Waymo and the Uber here, but the result the same, right? You're being dropped off at the right place.
That's absolutely right. And it's funny, I'm listening to myself on that. I just remember the first time I did it, I think I sound a little more excited. And it is.
Yeah.
It's still exciting. But now I've done it a few times. It's old hat.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. No, but it is quite, as I said, the experience in a lot of ways was exactly the same. Because it is, Waymo is being subcontracted to Uber in this case. So it's the same kind of car. Once you're in the car, mostly it's the same. But as I mentioned, the experience for a blind person, I found it easier to use Waymo directly because the app, the Uber app is absolutely accessible, but the Waymo app allowed me to do a few things that I couldn't do with the Uber app. For instance, when I got picked up from my office, and the office doesn't have a good place for the car to pull in to the front door. So it parks across the street and up the street a little bit. So as a blind person, you don't know where that is. With Waymo, I can go and go into the app and I can basically do a Find My, just like on your app phone. I can do a Find My and get walking directions to the car. And that's super helpful. And when I get there, I can get it to beep. It's just complete independence. In this case, I had to call Uber, said, where's my car? It's there. You know, they told me the address that it was at. And I said, well, that doesn't really help me because I'm at that address and I can't find the car. Where is it? So then they put me through to Waymo's support team. And that support team was great once I got through to them. But that took a few minutes because I had to transfer. With Waymo, they gave me, you know, directions because the person at Waymo could look out the cameras of the car and say, you know, oh, I see you. Walk
I'm over here.
Beep, beep.
Walk 100 yards, you know, to your south or whatever. And I did that. And then when I got close, he started beeping the horns for me. Again, which is great, but I didn't have to do that. I didn't need that when I was using Waymo. I did need that when I used Uber because that wasn't an option.
But that's so important, right? The technology itself is the same. The Waymo, Uber is just using that technology. But the experience so different because of, well, I would say two things. I was just going to say the app, right? Yes, the Uber app is accessible, but it doesn't have those extra features there. But I would also say the training of the Uber support. Saying, I don't know what to do, I'm sorry, isn't enough. That isn't good enough. So it's a really interesting experience. Two things there. Finding the car in the first place is a major thing. I think the ability for you to do that from the app is incredibly important. And secondly, the amount of the verbosity, if you like, on the ride. Because
that's right.
I would be anxious if I hadn't heard anything in a while. I mean, where am I going? I like to have more information than less information, or at least have the choice.
I almost felt like bringing up one of my other map apps, you know, so it would tell me where I
am. That's why I do a taxi all the time. Yeah, exactly.
Right, exactly. But, you know, I didn't want to do that. And it was pleasant in the Waymo car. I mean, using the Waymo app, because again, I can go in and there's a preference. You can turn on or off whether you want verbosity or not. And I really enjoyed having it tell me where I was and what was going on. And if I wanted to, I could have turned that off if it's too much, but it wasn't. It was enjoyable to me.
In the Waymo demo,
that's not there.
In the Waymo demo, I was really impressed when the car stopped at an intersection. The indicator was on and it was staying there for a while. And then all of a sudden the voice tells you, you know, we're waiting because there's lots of traffic or whatever it was. It was telling you why the car was sitting rather than moving. And, you know, I just think that level of verbosity and intelligence within the car is what is going to make this such an exciting experience for us, because we'll feel comfortable with it. And, you know, I feel it sounds to me like from your experiences of Waymo and Uber so far, that Waymo is the Apple at the moment of driverless cars.
Yes.
You know, and you know what's going to happen, of course, because as soon as blind people start using this, you know, in their area, if Waymo comes to their town, if they know that app is accessible, we're just going to go to it. We're just going to use that because we just know it's going to be the one that works. And then Uber won't be used by us. Although I do wonder if the cameras on board will pick up on the fact that there's a guide dog getting in the car and it'll just drive off before we get a chance to get in. Shouting about some medical condition it doesn't have.
I'm allergic.
Yeah. This leather can't take dog hair.
That's fun. You say Waymo is the Apple, and I agree. It's the software experience, basically, is better. The hardware experience is exactly the same, but the software experience was better. And I, you know, next time I take a ride, I'm going to choose the Waymo app. The only advantage Uber has over Waymo for me, is that I could, you know, if a Waymo car wasn't available, I could then just get in a driven car, you know, a person driven car.
Yeah.
There was a preference with Uber, the Uber app saying, you know, where I could say, wherever possible, give me a driverless car. And that, which of course I chose, but you know, if there was no Waymo car nearby, I could have gotten a regular Uber person.
So how often have you used the driverless cars now? It's been a while since you did that initial Waymo test, right?
A handful of times, three or four times, I think. Unfortunately, it doesn't come to my house yet. And I work from home for the most part. So the only time I use this is when I have to go into the office and want to go to lunch, like I did this time. Or when Steven says, hey, will you go check out Uber for us?
I could fly all the way to Phoenix and I would love to. But, you know, as the song says, by the time I get to Phoenix, Mr. F is nervous because the budget's gone up a bit.
There you go. That's fair.
I want to go for spaghetti.
Spaghetti?
That's where he went. Yeah, the spaghetti factory, was it?
The spaghetti factory was the...
What did you have?
You know that Italy's a bit nearer.
Well, when they have a driverless car, we can all meet in Italy.
So you trust-wise, then, do you feel perfectly confident, perfectly secure in a driverless car?
Yes.
Oh, wow. Not even waiting.
Yes.
Absolutely.
I feel safe. I feel comfortable. It's just me. I get to just do whatever I want. If I want to listen to music, I can listen to my music. I don't have to listen to theirs. I don't have to talk to them. But just like Stephen was saying, when it pulls up and it's not taking off, you know, I know that it's being careful. When it was coming to that intersection, it wasn't taking off right away. I know it's because it's being careful. And I appreciate that. I trust the computer more than I trust the average human at driving.
That's so interesting. I wondered how many sighted people would feel the same way.
No, I don't think there's a lot of them. And when I say this to my sighted friends, I tell them about it. Some of them are very intrigued and went and tried it. But I got a lot of reactions. I would never do that from the sighted folks because they want to drive. They think that they have more ability than the computer does. I look at the stats and say, you're wrong.
There's no evidence to that at all. There really isn't. And that's becoming clearer. And unfortunately, that's the fight we have. It's not with the technology. I have hope here. And the hope comes from the Gen Z mob. Because, you know, these are the kids of today. They don't want to do anything. And least of all drive. Least of all, you know, they want to sit on their phones all the time. That's all they want to do. They want to sit on their phones and they want to, you know, ticky-talk themselves.
You say that like it's a bad thing. I'm jealous.
I'm not complaining. I'm just, I am complaining about it, but not in this instance. Because generally I think, you know, what a bunch of lazy. But actually, in this occasion, I think this is quite good. This is good for us. Because they will be the ones who will just, because honestly, if you dropped a 100,000 of these cars into the UK or into the States or into Canada tomorrow, the Gen Zers would just, they just use them.
I think they use Uber more.
Absolutely.
This is three old guys talking, but I just remember when I was a kid, I was a kid, my friends were all trying to get their driver's license. The kids, you know, I have a couple young 20s. Kids now, they weren't as keen to go and get their driver's permit, driver's license, as they were in my day. They use Uber all the time. They do have driver's license now. Just kidding, my kids are listening. I want to make sure that's clear.
My eldest has only just started to take lessons now because they think nothing of taking the tram or jumping in a taxi or Uber at all. It just seems so much hassle to actually own the car yourself. And I think you're right, Stephen. I think that is the way the youth are going to drive it.
Well, it's a seismic shift because I remember growing up, you know, getting a taxi was a pretty, you know, big deal. Whereas now, people don't even think twice about it. You're right. It's a kind of sad indictment of our world in a way that there are people who can just do that and there are people who, you know, are still struggling to understand how they're going to feed themselves at the end of a day. And that division is pretty stark, but it is a division that we live within now. And there are a lot of people who, like you say, and I'm one of them, I will not even think twice. If I'm in a city, if I'm anywhere, and that's what I love about Uber in particular, in any city I'm in, pretty much, you know, I can just go into my Uber app, summon a car, and there it is. You know, if they sort out the accessibility issues with the car and the technology and all the rest of it, and they get these driverless cars out there, that is going to be a really, really interesting thing. But, you know, we're seeing Waymo moving along. We're seeing other companies coming along with this. And why is Phoenix the world center of this at the moment? What is going on there?
I think it was a great test bed because we don't have weather, right? It gets hot here. But other than that, there's not a whole lot of big rainstorms. There's certainly no snow, right? So I think they wanted to use us as a test bed because they could do it year round without a lot of worry. Now, they need to move into cities that have real weather. But I think, and you know, California is the second. Waymo's now in San Francisco and they just opened up in LA. These are all places that don't have a whole lot of weather. The only thing, only difference in San Francisco is they have more hills. We're very flat. Is that the only difference? But I'd like to see this you know, take off in Philadelphia or New York or London or Manchester.
It's going to be the test, though, right? Because when you introduce snow or rain, then the environment changes from a recognizable point of view. If you can't read the road markings on the road, the white lines, the whatever else it may be because of snow or ice or whatever, then it makes it 1,000 times more difficult. So that is the real test. I think you're absolutely right there. In Phoenix or wherever, where it's, you know, you can pretty much guarantee clear, sunny weather, then the environment isn't going to change that much.
So I think that's it. And then the second reason is that the legislature here in Arizona was open to it. They were, you know, more willing to let somebody come and try this.
It's interesting because here where I live, the city of Glasgow is about to get its first next year in 2025. It is going to have the first driverless subway system in the UK. There are driverless train networks in other parts of the country, but I don't think there's any subways that are running like this. And Glasgow Underground is a very small underground service. I think it's got like 20 stations or something. It's not a big, thriving network, but it's a very well-used network, you know, moving people around the city. And it'll be really interesting to see how people react to that and how, because there's obviously other concerns when it comes to public transport. If there's no staff and it's a Friday night at 9 or 10 at night, you know, how safe is that going to be? You know, there's that aspect of it as well. I don't know if we think about that in terms of taxis. I often think, I remember when we first brought this subject up way back when, I remember one of our listeners, I think it was Bilal, if I remember rightly, got in touch with us. And, do you remember this one, Sean? And left us a message saying, yeah, but what happens if somebody stands in front of the car and someone else stands behind the car?
That's right. I do remember
that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's absolutely such a, and that question to me still is an issue today, right? How can this car identify danger? Is that part of the ethics that's built into the car? Can it identify danger? And what can it do about it?
What would a human do in that situation? Right?
Probably drive through them, I would imagine.
Right.
No, but the point being, though, that as a blind person in that car, how would he know there is a danger? I don't know. I mean, I suppose the answer to that will probably come from, like you say, someone being able to see out the you know, using the cameras of the car from a central location, being able to monitor what's going on with them.
One of the things it does when you get in the car, and it the voice will tell you, you know, if you want to stop, you know, press the button on your app and it'll just pull over. If you feel unsafe, it'll pull over because you overrode it.
Is there a get me the hell out of here button?
Yeah, in essence, but it won't go any further. It'll just pull over.
And, no, I want the opposite. Know. I want a car to press a button and this thing shoots off 100 miles an hour in whatever direction it has to.
Sorry.
No, so the rock there, behind the wheel, you know?
Well, what you just need, you need that verbosity back, don't you? The person detected at the front, right. So we cannot proceed, and someone at the back cannot proceed. I mean, the difference between is that actual a danger or is that just some drunk who can't move or doesn't or is playing around? In that case, you just call support or call, you know, whoever, emergency.
Right. That was the other thing. You know, besides pressing the button to have it pull over, which in your situation, I'm not sure it could because it's pinned. But I could then, if it didn't do anything, I could then press the button and talk to support, and they'd be looking through the cameras and telling me what's going on.
And then in this dystopian future, a robotic police person would come along and tell them to move along.
You have 20 seconds to comply. Ah, oh, it's all coming true.
I can hear the pyong pyong sound effects as we go. This is turning into a sci-fi movie. I don't even like sci-fi movies, but I'm about to live in one. Maybe I should watch Star Wars, then I've got a sense to know what's coming along.
I'm so sad listening to you sometimes, Stephen.
Well, Greg, you are now our official driverless cars correspondent, so thank you so much.
You're very welcome. And it was a lot of fun. And if another service comes along that you want me to go test, let me know.
Greg, it's been great talking to you as always. Thanks so much for coming on, sharing your thoughts on this. It is such an interesting area that we're moving into in 2024. It seems like Phoenix is the place to be. All year round sunshine and driverless cars. If you've got gigabit internet and a McDonald's that delivers, I'm in.
Hey, we do. So come on over.
You had me at spaghetti.
Greg, thanks so much.
You're welcome. Bye now.
Thanks, Greg.